Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast right here. Running the Point with your man, Jason. One word, all caps, cap city. That's a lot of words. Running the Point with Jason Carey. First, you know how we start this thing. It's like saying the grace. I want to thank everybody for listening, for tuning in, man. It's a bunch of podcasts out there. You can listen to anybody. And we out here competing for ears. So I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. So today, I got my guest today. It's been a long time coming, man. We're supposed to have this conversation. You don't even know we're supposed to have this conversation for a while. Okay. But I had to have it. I needed another perspective on this.
Okay.
So I want to welcome to the show for the very first time my man, Mr. Chris Cornell. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir.
What's going on?
Chris is, used to be a professor, and you may still be doing it, but used to be over at Clark.
I was at Spelman for 8 years.
At Spelman for 8 years.
I'm currently at Europe Greater Atlanta, which is tied to the Atlanta Metropolitan and Atlanta Technical College.
Year Up, and I definitely wanted to tell them what Year Up is, because once you introduced me to Year Up, I was like, this is a wonderful idea. I told my niece that I think needed to be in the program, and I was like, man, this is everything. So just tell them what Year Up is.
So Year Up is a workforce development program. We specialize in students 18 to 24-year-olds with a high school diploma or GED. We're teaching them information technology skills such as hardware, software, front-end web design, coding, business analytics. And then on the soft skills side, we're teaching them public speaking, business writing, as well as customer service and project management. Mm. So the first 6 months they spend with us through learning and development, learning these different skills, and then we pair them with a Fortune 500 company in which they do a six-month internship. Mm. And so, hence the name Year Up, Y-E-A-R-U-P. Hopefully, they will have a positive outcome either by being hired by the company they're interning with, or at least that company providing some type of recommendation so they can start their career. And the second component is them continuing their higher education, because once they're in our program, they get credit recommendations. Mm. And with those credit recommendations, they can apply that towards their degree.
Oh, that's awesome. I think it's an awesome program, because if you ever have a chance, any of my professionals that are listening get a chance to go down and either sit on one of these public speaking panels or get to go and speak to these students. It's set up like they're working in an office. You see little cubicles and stuff. I was like, this is cool. It's like an environment, like playing dress up almost, but for real life. And then what was extra cool to me was the little room where it's like some people, everybody don't have business attire. Mm-hmm. And you could go in there and pick out, the ties. And you had some stuff in there for people, and you would people could donate some of those clothes as well, right?
Correct. So we call it our clothing closet. And they are required to dress professionally every day. Mm-hmm. And so that's for our young men and young women. So various professionals in the city, various partnerships that we have, whether it's with the retail stores or other nonprofits that provide that professional clothing, they can feel secure in knowing that they don't have to go out and buy this $300 Armani suit to fit in. They can definitely start where they are with what they have and still be successful in our program.
That's awesome, man. It's awesome, man. And if you guys don't know of it, or you've been following me, you know that I am continuously promoting positive images of black men.
Yes,
I think that is something that we need to continue to do. So that's the other reason I wanted you on the show, is that I need people to see us, to continue to see us in this light that it's here.
Yeah.
And this ain't new. You know, a lot of people are excited in this current time about positive images, and we've been saying this for years, it needs to be done, but it's also been saying it for years, hey, I'm over here.
Yes, exactly.
So I want to continue to promote these positive images. So when you guys start talking about black men, talk about these guys. this is what,
please,
I want y'all to do. On here, on Running the Point, we have our topic, which we call our jump ball.
Okay.
And
nice.
The jump ball is I'm going to put it out there, I'm going to make a statement, and either you can agree or disagree, it doesn't matter, we're just going to talk about it.
Okay.
And what I wanted to talk about, and why you are essential to this conversation is because I want to talk about education a little bit, specifically how we push education and the process and how the world is changing a little bit. And sometimes I feel like education is a little stagnant. Mm-hmm. So if I had a kid right now who was coming out of high school, I'm not sure that I would be telling him to go to college. I'm not sure. It depends on what he was going after, but I'm not sure. So the jump ball is college has kind of become a scam. Hmm. I'm feeling like it's become a little bit of a scam. Now, this is coming from a very educated young man. Graduated cum laude from the North Carolina A&T University, Aggie Pride.
Aggie Pride.
I worked in my field for several years. But I see, as I was sitting in graduation, so let me go back. The day I graduate, I'm sitting in graduation, and sometimes I'm a little very analytical. Sometimes I got to pull myself back, too, because I get too deep into this thought. But I'm sitting at graduation. We're at Greensboro Coliseum in North Carolina. It's rocking. Having a great time. Everybody's excited. Yeah, I'm graduating. Wow, I'm out of here. Real world's about to start. Mm-hmm. It's all of these different schools within the college, the School of Engineering and Technology and the English Department and bang, bang, bang. There's people everywhere. Mm-hmm. Thousands of students graduating. And I get to thinking, this is one university in this one little city, and all of these students are coming out with the same major. Mm-hmm. How many colleges and universities are graduating on this exact same day with these exact same majors? We don't have enough jobs.
Yeah, or in the same time frame as well.
Same time. I said, we don't have enough. All of these people will not work in their field, will not work, may never find a job doing what they want to do. So I'm like, is this a good idea? Now, when I say that, I'm not saying, because I think with all things, you need some guidelines, you need kind of some guidance along the way. But going to college, because now the world has changed and everything's so independent. Look at us. We're media. We're media right now, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And we've been able to do this on our own. Some of it is formal training, some of it is not. And certifications, you can go and get a certification, and now you can go get a job that this guy that was at school for 4 years and has this insurmountable debt, seemingly. Yeah. And this guy over here went and got some certifications. He's like, I'm chilling.
Exactly.
But we're not teaching that.
So a couple of things. The first, I want to say my grace before I even comment on it. Thank you for having me on. If y'all don't know, Jason, are you J-Bo on this cast?
We Jason. We're going to go Jason.
It is Jason Carey. But I think that's a great thing about multimedia as well, that you can, you know, pretty much put your voice in various platforms and be different things to different people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I appreciate that even though we met in the entertainment format, we're sitting here having a conversation about the educational foundation that we received, how it's allowed us to be diverse. Mm-hmm. So in saying that, the diversity didn't come from the formal education through college and the curriculum. That came from the social interaction and our personalities and using our aptitude to understand the different tangible outcomes that we can possess. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about students sitting in an auditorium or in a coliseum or whatnot, they've done the curriculum work, but have they truly done the social perspective of, okay, what am I really on? What do I really like? Because I attended the Clark Atlanta University, the mighty Black Panthers. You know, I got to put Black Panthers in
there. Of course. Yeah. HBCU love, man.
And I looked back at my transcript about a couple weeks ago because, you know, I want to apply for grad school. And so this is great we're talking about this because I'm not looking to apply for grad school for a job. If anything, I'm looking to apply to grad school because of the system that is set up that says I need these three letters that I know I can do anyway without the three letters,
mm-hmm.
but that's just a system that's set up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the curriculum part that I looked at, I don't even remember taking these classes. Like, and I have a degree in mass media arts, radio, television, and film. So just like we're sitting here before we started talking about the podcast, what equipment do I need, and all of these things, the format has shifted so much where we can sit here and create a specific thing without a sound studio, without the $25,000 in tuition and debt, mm-hmm. without the different professors that are saying you're doing a great idea, you're doing a good job, this is what you need to do, because really we've surpassed all that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the industry hasn't market corrected. And so when I say the industry hasn't market corrected,
you said the job industry.
Yeah, the job mm-hmm. industry. So when people are looking to someone to fulfill or to satisfy them, saying you did a good job by taking this major, here's your reward, which is a job and a salary.
Mm-hmm.
So when that doesn't happen, which is the cookie cutter process that we take them through, which is the whole industrial complex, and that's a whole nother thing where you have the industrial complex where, okay, you're trained for these skills. Once you're trained for these skills, you go to this particular job. So if you're a welder, you go here. If you're HVAC, you go here. If you're culinary, you go here.
Mm-hmm.
They had these industry-specific jobs, but what happened is they standardized the education system where they threw everybody in all the same classes.
A big cauldron.
A big cauldron. Uh-huh. And so now, between 14 and 18, even though I might be interested in something different, I am forced to take these classes that have nothing to do with what I'm ultimately passionate about.
True.
And so I think the gift and the curse of the education system right now is the gift is those with the access that have the means, that have the money, can go to these specialized schools. So, like, for me, I would have loved to go to a performing arts high school.
Mm-hmm.
But performing arts high school doesn't have a football team. I love playing football. I love running track. So either I'm going to be Beethoven and Shakespeare, or I'm going to be Friday Night Lights.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't have both.
Mm.
So I was able to not only go to a high school that had a football team, because I actually I passed up the opportunity to go to the James Baldwin Academy because of my test scores. My test score said, hey, you can go to James Baldwin Academy. I said, do they have a football team? No, I'm not going.
What's to tell them what the James Baldwin Academy is?
So James Baldwin Academy is very similar to like a baby Harvard,
gotcha.
Where you can go and, you know, get a lot of AP courses and kind of get a start, so to speak.
I got to write down all sorts of stuff, because even the AB, I got statements about that kind of stuff. Go ahead, carry on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Hey, that's what it's about. And so I passed up that opportunity, even though academically I could have gone, because socially I was more worried about how am I going to interact. I didn't really care about the educational aspect. And again, you're talking about a 14-year-old kid, 13, 14. And to me, I definitely was growing and learning. And I'm a social person. So I think that I would have died a quick death. I wouldn't have done well there because, number one, you're not from my neighborhood. I have no idea what you're talking about. I've been a fish out of water. Could I have done the work? Yes.
Uh-huh.
But that's not what drives me. You know what kept my grades high to earn a full scholarship to Clark Atlanta University?
What?
Football. Not because I did the work well.
Me too.
Yeah.
Shout out to your parents allowing you to... whether they were fooling you or not, because my dad fooled me when I was in kindergarten and I wanted to go to public school. I realized later he just ain't gonna pay tuition no more. but whether they were fooling you or not, shout out to your parents for allowing you to make that decision to
right.
say, hey, that's cool, but that's really not for me. I need to go over here and allowing you to do that. So shout out to your parents for that. But it's funny, you said that sports kept your grades up. I often say sports saved my life. Sports and my little sister saved my life.
Yeah.
Because one reason I really wanted to get good grades is because I wanted to stay on the baseball team.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's it. So I can play ball. I can't play ball?
Yeah.
All right.
And my mom saw that in me. And so that was actually the condition of why she let me pass. I said, okay, if you don't go to James Baldwin Academy, if football is this damn important, and you got to think about this now, you know, the hindsight. I'm like 5 feet, 100 pounds walking in to Willie Ridge High School. Like, I just know I'm about to be Deion Sanders. Probably not. But in my mind, in my confidence, like,
I love it.
You ain't never seen nothing like this before in your life. So she was like, you have to get no less than a B. And I'm like, man, you don't need a 2.5. That's going to take you like, no less than a B. And really, the B can't be less than a B minus. So fast forward to senior year, and guess what? I don't have all these D1 offers. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, don't they know who I am? I'm 5'5", 125 at this point.
It's yeah.
the robust growth. So then Clark Atlanta was like, hey, you know what? You can come here academically, though. And I was like, ah, cool. I'll do that, too. So circling back to the original concept of high school to college still, and again, this is 20 years ago, was an outlet. So if you're talking about Southside Houston, and you're talking about the options and the opportunity, it was either sports, band, or academics. Mm-hmm. Those were your three ways out of the hood. Like, it wasn't just like you had a parent that was over this department that taught you coding at 15.
Yeah.
And, you know, you went to Harvard. You say, yeah, you know what, Mom, I'm not going to go to Harvard. I'm just going to go code and create Microsoft. We didn't have those types of opportunities. Mm-hmm. But now I think fast forward, that you have the parents that have the wherewithal to be able to kind of tailor make that educational process earlier and kind of get their children on a path earlier, mm-hmm. then they feel more comfortable telling their young adult, you know what, if you don't want to go to college, you don't have to, but here's the rub. They've been doing this since they were 10 already. So that's not as scary if I'm, like, starting.
True. And then you're just not starting at 17, 18 years old.
Yeah, if I started in coding at 10 years old and now I'm 18, I'm like, you know what, Mom, I think I'm just going to get this A-plus certification and design websites. Cool, mm-hmm. because you've been doing it for 8 years. It's not like you're 18 telling them, you know what, I'm not going to go to college.
I've been playing ball. But.
Yeah. I'm going to go pursue my passion of, you know, podcast. They're like, nah, son, that's not happening. So those traditional routes have been kind of blurred, but they're still there because...
This is the challenge, though, with this, Chris, is that now we all know this.
Right.
So we're a generation and a half probably removed from it, but we know, we understand it now, right?
Right.
They're still teaching what they taught us mm-hmm. in high school right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, algebra was taught maybe you had to go to algebra in high school. Now you're doing elementary school. That's kind of been moving around, but they've taken cursive out of taking cursive out of school.
That's
you
a whole
know,
other debate.
There's a whole nother debate. There's a lot of things that they've changed. But they're not all to me, they're not all for the positive. I think you should have never took home ec out. Ever. Like, people are like, that's a waste. But in some of those classes, they taught them how to write checks. Yeah. So open bank account, things of that nature that cook. They're actually going to need. Cook. Stuff that you're going to actually need. Life skills. I think there should be a life skills curriculum.
Correct.
I think. I think that should be in the high school. But, we're and like I said, they're teaching them, hey, go to school. You don't know what your major is. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. Makes absolutely no sense for us to be doing that now.
What's that?
Make no sense. We're setting up for failure.
Is that $20,000 a year to figure it out?
To figure it out?
That's crazy.
What are we doing? But there's a mass, and I think my opinion of that is because America is a machine. Mm-hmm. America is a business. And you need bodies to work this machine. So I need to train people to work within the machine, not train people to do what we do, not train people to get outside of that box.
Right.
So I think that's my theory is this is why there's not a movement to teach people to think outside of the box. Performance Arts High School, speaking of that kind of stuff, I went to Henrico High School, which also has Center for the Arts in the school. But if you take Center for the Arts, it's like 3 or 4 classes, so you couldn't do something else. So I was already in a band, and I would have had to stop taking gym or something. It was a bunch of stuff I wouldn't have been able to do. So I wasn't able, because I've been acting since I was 8. That's what I wanted to do. Mom's like, you gotta eliminate other classes? I was like, yeah. Nah, son. we're not doing this. You can take that engineering class. which I did, you know what I mean? Which was cool, and it kind of pushed me through engineering and everything that I was gonna do later. But I say, you talked about AP classes. Mm-hmm. And which is gonna bring me to my next part of this. When I look back on that, it's cool, but is it? Because it puts all this pressure on these kids in high school to get an A in AB English, because an A means more in AB English, and I'm going to get these college credits. Mm-hmm. That by the time you're a sophomore in college, don't nobody care what you got on your report card as a junior in high school. You know what I'm saying?
I will say this, though. I mean, it helped my GPA out because I came in with a 3.0 off top.
Mm.
Before I even hit campus.
So that helped you get your scholarship.
Right. It not only helped me get my scholarship, but it also assisted in, if I did have any mishaps my freshman year, that I had at least a foundation.
Because you said you came in with it. Oh, you had a 3.0 college GPA.
Right.
From the jump.
Because my credits transferred in.
Ah, that's big. That's big. So I can stand corrected on something like that, because that does give you the opportunity to your leg up. You get in college and you go left. You got a little help in there. Yeah. Cause I know I
needed it.
Gotcha. Yeah, because my first day on campus, like, all these chicks here for me.
Exactly. For you, nobody else.
For me, all these. Well, I got 20 numbers today. I got 20 dorm numbers. Why? I didn't call none of them. Total different conversation.
Can't remember which ones they were.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I just got your number. So I was reading what brought this, because I said we were supposed to have this conversation a long time ago. What brought it back to the forefront is an article came across my timeline from the Chicago Sun-Times, and it was talking about, let's quit brainwashing kids about college, which I thought was a strong title. So let me read and see what they're saying. But what it talks about is something, and it's something that I've had this conversation with family members and other people, is that the push was for go to school, and these set of majors. But what's happening is some of these other skills aren't being taught. So it was saying, let me see, it was a statistic. According to U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 68% of high school graduates go to college. This means they're absent vocational training. 32% of our young people are unqualified for a job with which they can lift themselves out of poverty. So the skills that we're losing, brick masonry and some of the things that you're talking about, industrial, some of those skills aren't being taught anymore. How to cut hair, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some of those things aren't being taught, so everybody doesn't make it through the college system. They're talking about the pressures that some of these kids in these AP classes are going through, and it's a higher suicide rate because they got this pressure to succeed. So I'm like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? It seems like we don't have it right still. And that's my concern, is that it seems that on the education side, and it obviously is early education, we're not talking so much in the college side, it's really just earlier with the message that we're teaching. It seems like we still don't have it right, but it's not a conversation, not a national conversation about getting it right, it seems like.
Well, it should be an international conversation, because going back to you sitting in the auditorium, or the Coliseum, I keep saying auditorium, I don't know why I'm fixing
cool.
on that.
This era. Yeah. Go ahead. We had auditoriums at our schools. Yeah, schools.
I know, right? I tell my students this. I say, look, you're sitting in this class, and to your point, when you graduate, you got Tech, you got Emory, you got Georgia State, you got HBCUs, you got the Spelman, the Clark, the Morehouse, and that's just Atlanta, you know,
yeah.
Kennesaw State. That's, I said, but you haven't even factored into the equation Asia, India, Africa's, like, they trying to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we know to be true? They in school year round. Mm-hmm. Like, they wake up in Asia. I love their educational system because they place value in education. We don't place value in education, to your point. We place value in the system and then figure out how can we give them the least quality and get the highest amount at the higher levels.
Mm.
So in Asia, they're waking up like, man, okay, we're going to start with meditation and yoga. Then we about to go into language. Now we about to go into science. Now we about to go into math.
It's a full body of education.
Full body the whole year. They don't get breaks. They get, you know, little interim snapshots. But why do you think that, you know, they come here and they're kicking our ass up and down the field? Because, you know, there was, and I can't name the exact study, but when I looked at the statistics of it, when it comes to education, we're like number 16 in the world, 16 or 17.
The most powerful nation in the world is 16.
Yeah. But
wow,
the confidence of our students, guess where we are?
Where?
Number one. We are so confident and we're so dumb at the same time. And we're so...
What's the root of that, you think?
Because, you know, and you said, you know, the pressure, but honestly, I think that, you know, it's a weaker strain of student because they don't have a lot of obstacles. They haven't really faced adversity. So when you go back to those life skills, when you're talking about consequences versus choices, we've really removed those barriers versus, you know, these other countries. Like, again, like, okay, you can clearly see if I don't achieve in any type of educational spectrum, this is my reality. This is
this,
my faith.
This is my life.
Yeah. This. So it kind of gives you a different hunger. We're not hungry anymore because, you know what? Yeah, mom, I failed. My bad. But I'm going to go to my room, play my PlayStation, play on my iPad, you know, watch MTV or whatever. And this, I'll try again. Like, no. Like, if they.
So in a sense, the American dream is failing us a little bit. Just the imagery of it.
The imagery of it because, you know, they show you the end goal, but they aren't realistic about what it really takes to get there with the hard work, the dedication, and the commitment. And again, the value of what education really does. So it's not about education specifically. It's about how do you learn? Do you know how you learn? What is the best way? And now that I know your learning style, am I catering to your learning style so you can get the best experience from your education so you can gain more knowledge that will assist you ultimately to critically think through situations?
So education needs to be tailored a little bit more. If you have the opportunity, so if you have kids out there and you have opportunity to tailor your child's education, it's probably a better path to go down. If you can, everybody doesn't have the opportunity. So what do we do? Because ultimately, all this comes down to the haves and have-nots. It does come down to poverty. You go to some of the lower-income areas, books and facilities, things that they don't have. And the things they don't have, it's kind of a lineage of not having the education to know what to do. There's some people that's sitting in the middle of squalor and don't know it.
Yeah.
They're in the middle, like, they don't have to be destitute, but they are. You know what I mean? So what do we do? What do you think we do to even the playing field?
Well, again, that's where the system comes in because what we didn't even get to is the teacher salary. So you're putting a teacher in the middle of squalor at $32,000 a year, and you're telling them to be the mama, be the daddy, you know, be the babysitter, you know, because, you know, you have the disconnect of the kids coming to school and they're really not even there for you. They're there because this is the only place I eat or this is the place where I can get some type of services because it is that bad at home. But now they have all of these behavioral issues and all these things that you're telling educators to sift through. But then when they get their check, they can't even go to the store and, you know, live like they need to live. But yet they had to spend 60, 70 hours a week, which is way beyond their pay scale, to try to make a difference in an overcrowded classroom that you know that Johnny can't read and it's fifth grade. And
they continue to push him along through.
Yeah, exactly. They keep pushing him because you can't stay here, dude. There's 40 people in this classroom, and obviously you can't read, but we got a whole other wave of you that can't read either, but they got to get pushed through too because, dude, you're 13 or 14, so you got to get out of here.
It almost seems, when you hear all of this, it almost seems like silly that we're having the challenges and discussions we have in our government about even about guns or any of this other stuff that we're talking about, it's like the root of a lot of this could go back to this one issue. We're like, education and poverty. We deal with these things, mm-hmm. and some of these other issues we have will go away. It doesn't, it's not the end all be all, mm-hmm. but it seems like a lot of this goes down to these certain issues here, but we don't spend no time talking about it. Now there's school boards and there's people that are talking about it and saying that nobody, but it's not really a national or international conversation that should be a topic on TV, on the radio, everywhere, every single week. Should be.
Well, it's not education of poverty. It's more access. So when you talk about poverty, I give a perfect example. So again, going back to the program we work for, you have low to middle income young adults mm-hmm. that have probably never interacted with a computer on a frequent basis before, period. Mm. And you 18, 19. And this is your first.
It's 2018.
And it's like 2018. Wow. You could work the hell out your phone. Mm-hmm. But, like, again, you're the consumer. So to provide them access and a paradigm shift of, you know, you could be the producer and not the consumer is a concept so foreign to them. So when you talk about the education and poverty piece, to your point, there are classrooms out there in Buckhead mm-hmm. that have Mac labs in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And in Bankhead, they have this old tattered book that's still from 80-something. So when you talk about the access and you talk about the jobs that are available and STEM and science and technology, then yes, there's a disconnect because there are jobs, but you're never going to qualify for this job because you don't even know that they exist, because you don't even know that there's a type of education to get to that job.
That is key. That right there, again, access. It's something that blows my mind that as an adult, even when I became an adult, it's jobs. I was like, wait, they pay people to do that? Mm-hmm. When I got older, I was like, nobody told me I could do that.
Exactly.
Growing up, you know, you could be an engineer, a doctor, a lawyer, a fireman, a policeman, you know what I mean, a pilot maybe, you know. Maybe 10 jobs, like, and a teacher, you know, it's maybe mm-hmm. 10 jobs they told you could do. Those are all the 10 jobs that are available. But then you become an adult, you're like, people get paid literally to do everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And like you said, there's a path to get there. Mm-hmm. I think if we talked about it a little bit earlier, talked about possibilities, because you said know that you could be the producer and not the consumer. You're right. We teach a consumer mentality from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Go work so you can go buy this car. You know what I'm saying? Not, hey, learn how that car works so you can build a car. Never taught that.
Yep.
No one ever told me that I could work. I didn't know that they were recruiting at A&T. There is a racing team at A&T. They're the spinoff of A&T, but as a racing team at A&T, there's a NASCAR school in Charlotte.
Wow.
So they were recruiting because there's not enough African-Americans in the sport. So they were coming and trying to get some of the best and brightest from A&T to come to this NASCAR school so you can learn, because those people that work in the pit, they like rocket scientists. They're not mechanics. Them, it was no air displacement and aerial aerodynamics and stuff like that. They really know science, you know. Well, I'm 19 and I'm 19, 20 years old finding that out. Nobody told me that I should be interested in learn aerodynamics. You could build a car. Not to say that I wanted to work for NASCAR. That was just wasn't my thing. They came to me, asked me if I wanted to do it. Wasn't me. But I had some partners that did go do it and are doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, you're saying access. Nobody's teaching, and it's almost frustrating because it's like once you get the knowledge, your job, once you learn something, it's your job to tell people other people about it. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's our service. You learn something, don't hold on to the information.
No better, do better.
And it just blows my mind that we're still having that problem. We're talking about 2018. We're still having that problem. You can have a conversation with somebody, and they'll tell you something, be like, you always knew that? You always knew what you right now. You always knew that.
It's also training. So going back to understanding, you know, what's out there, the internet has opened it wide open, mm-hmm. and you can literally type in anything in the search engine. Even that, you have to know how to search on the internet.
Oh, I know some terrible Googlers.
Right.
Terrible. I was like, how are you a terrible Googler? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but like you had to put certain things in EDU. You had to put certain things in for certain companies because the way that the algorithms work, if you don't understand how algorithms work, because again, you're just like, oh, how do I bake a cake? But, you know, how do I design this? And so, yeah, there might be the basic search things that come up, but if you really want to dig down, then you should Google how to properly Google because there are things that I didn't know. Like, I'm in an educational conference, and they're saying, yeah, for our educational thing, if you want to teach your students from the Middle Eastern perspective, you should Google this and take articles from their perspective. If you want to do it from our perspective, you do that. And they, like, show it. I'm like, yo, I ain't even noticed. And again, I'm 10 years in the game. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm teaching my students. I'm teaching them the wrong way, in my opinion, because I'm just doing the pedagogy of what, you know, again, they told you this is what you do, the pre-assessment, the assessment, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, you know something now. So we have to continuously relearn or unlearn, I should say, what we should learn first in the right way.
That's
so
key.
So, yeah, that is key. So when people are saying, like, yo, I don't have the opportunity, we have to now reteach how to search for opportunity.
Mm.
Because the opportunity is actually out there, but we don't know how to properly look for that opportunity. And especially within our community, it's kind of like, you know, long as I got some J's and, you know, my clothes are fresh and, you know, I'm good. And
yeah.
So it's the stagnation of them banking on us being stagnant, where we will always sit at the table waiting for the scraps versus understanding how to go out, grow the garden, pick the garden, clean the vegetables, eat right, and now we feeding our community.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Unlearn.
Unlearn.
So much. And there's a lot for us. I think there's a lot for us to unlearn. As much as we advance in our society and our communities, we need to, there's things that we're like, you know what, kind of throw that little information away, go this direction now, and continuously learn and unlearn. Wow, that's the thing about that. That process is a continuous process. I know we always talk about continuously educating. Kudos to you to say that I want to go and get more education, but this is the reason why. I always tell people, if you want to go get a master's or you're going to get your PhD, just know why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I am very clear. I do not want to drop 70. I do not. Let me be clear. And honestly, I'm still like, I know too many people for me to pay for this degree. So whoever listens to this podcast, I just feel like between my experience, my connects, and, you know, my contribution to this jam thus far, it would be of your benefit to pay for my degree so I could continue the education of what we need for the community.
Doesn't that make sense, though? That why aren't people paying for the teachers to continuously educate? You know what I'm saying? I know they say that it's supposed to work out where you go get a advanced degree that your pay gets an increase, but it doesn't equal out.
Yeah.
It never equals. It's like, yeah, you get a bump, but it doesn't equal out. And
15 grand at the most.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool, thank you, but it don't quite. They're saying over time, 15 grand a year, it'll add up.
No, well, what happens is they just want to give you that extra little 600 per check to put it back in your student loan. That's a whole another
whole another conversation.
It's a whole another system.
Yeah, man, we probably could talk about systems all day. I'm a huge. Huge on the systems and how, which ones are wrong and how we can correct them. That's why I talked about the curriculum. It's a whole subject that's untapped on this here podcast. But great conversation, I think. A great conversation that we have these conversations on the podcast to start the conversation. It's not the end of the conversation. I think this conversation can go from online to offline and go further than that. That's my goal, is people to have just start thinking about this a little different.
Yeah, and man, again, I appreciate you having me on. First of all, thank you for even considering me for the conversation, because mm-hmm. I still feel that, you know, I'm not and this is something great that you're talking about. I'm not formally trained in education. Mm-hmm. I am a teacher, and I had the opportunity to teach at a higher education level through entertainment.
Mm.
So us just having the wherewithal to say, you know what, we want to make a difference. Let's do these creative writing classes at the libraries. Let's go to these schools and, you know, do some motivational speaking and, you know, all that. So the dean of the vice president of student services used to come to my show. And so every week she would watch me get down to my craft as entertainment. But she said, you know, we need non-traditional teachers to be able to come in and really teach our students. Do you teach? I was like, yeah, I teach. I teach every week. Because, again, it's not like I was lying. Like, beyond the hustle, you know, I care. So I was taking my own personal time to do these things. Mm-hmm. And so when I first came into the classroom, you're talking about one of the highest esteemed HBCUs in the country. You know, I told him, I said, get this curriculum out of here. I told him straight up, first day, we are not going to look at this book. Because this book is not going to help you when you got a microphone, you standing in front of 300 people.
Mm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you some business jargon that you need to understand what it means that you're doing. But we're going to use this platform and show you how to find your voice.
That's major. Shout out to Clark for even thinking outside of the box like that for teachers. But that thing, again, goes back to something we were just talking about, figuring out how people learn.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to get the information to them. Shout out to Clark. Shout out to HBCUs, period.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys have not watched. I don't like to take people off of our programming. But if you haven't watched the Tell Them We Are Rising HBCU story on PBS, go and pull that up and watch it, man.
Yeah, I need to actually watch it, man. I didn't get an opportunity to see it. And also shout out to Spelman, because Spelman's the one that gave me the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But because of Clark Atlanta and different colleagues that could vouch for me as references, mm-hmm. it's just family. And, you know, because of that, I was able to, you know, do a lot of things. And I was able to put a lot of people on because I worked specifically, mm-hmm. and they were able to kind of revamp the curriculum to say, okay, what did you do? Because I won Teacher of the Year that year.
Wow.
And they're like, what did you do that they're not
doing?
Look
at this. Look at this.
So they said, yo, we have positions open. Can you provide some names? So the
put other people in there.
Yeah, the current regime, about four of those are my recommendations.
Mm.
And so because of that, again, I didn't bring in the traditional teachers. I brought the people in that I knew to be able to deliver the information that they needed. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a classic example, too. If I'm doing panels or something like that, I'm not bringing in, like, and yes, thus thou, who art thus, the wind blow. Like, they're not going to relate to that person. You're going to come in, you're going to be able to give them something that will assist them professionally, but also that will, you know, translate into this is how I can apply this to my everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to be teaching.
I was going to get out of here, but you brought up a good point when you said that just right there. When I first moved to Atlanta, I used to substitute teach. I'm a hustler. I can use all my, I use every tool I got to do what I need to do. And I was a substitute teacher in Gwinnett County. And on Friday was casual Friday for the teachers. The teachers come in. Now the teachers would come in with their dad jeans on and their, you know, their school sweatshirts and stuff. And I was like, y'all look crazy to me. Y'all look crazy because I'm still 20-some years old, I'm a young boy, you know what I mean? So I'm like, and I'm hip-hop all day, up and down. So I would come in, I'm dressed respectful, because I never sag my pants and stuff like that. I'm hip-hop, but I never did none of that. But I came in dressed as Jason on Friday. And I did that on purpose. My goal was so that the students can see somebody that looked like them, but is still the one in front of the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So they could say, yo, I don't have to be a square to be educated. Right. And I would actually verbalize it, but I wanted to walk so they could see it. And then I was at Meadow Creek, and they had like a young men's mentor program. So even as a substitute, I jumped in that program to kind of and talk to the young boys. We talked about music. We talked about life. We talked about all that. Dapped them up. You know what I'm saying? I still missed the carry, but I treated them a certain way and let them see me. I didn't put up a facade. I let them see me. And they gravitated to me immediately. They'd come and sit in my class sometime. Like, y'all doing? Y'all can't sit in here right now. Like, y'all just want to come kick it with Mr. Carey. It's like, nah, man. But you talk to us a certain way, and I kind of make school enjoyable, man. So I think again, is we need to take all of that. Mm-hmm. I think all of that, we need to unlearn some of the traditions we thought was the way things needed to be and do it another way. And I think we better our communities, we better our cities, we better our government, we better everything if we can do it that way. So, man, this is a dope conversation. I enjoy talking to you, brother. You know, outside of this, we're actually friends, you know what I'm saying? So I enjoy sitting down with positive brothers, and these are the type of people I like to surround myself with anyway. And this is just another example, I think, for you guys, anybody that's listening, young or old, look at your circle. Yeah. Look at the people, so you can look at the type of conversation. When y'all sit around at the bar or whatever, or y'all sit around watching the game, what are the kind of conversations are you guys having? Mm-hmm. If the kind of conversations that are being had around you don't match where you want to be, you might need to remove yourself from that circle.
You are a sum total of the five people you hang around the most.
Mm. There it is. There it is, man. So, and to add to that, I always say if you're the smartest person in that circle, you probably need to change it. If you are the richest person in that circle, you probably need to change it.
Oh, yeah.
These are all things. These are social skills, though. These are things you talked about. These are things that you learn socially for being in the street, for being wherever. That's a whole other conversation. You know what I mean? But it's all education, man. It's all education. I think education is more than just in the book. It's all of it is education. And so I think we let's continue to learn, continue to get better, man. We got to get out of here. Again, follow me, Jason804 on Instagram, Jason804 on Twitter. I'm really back on Twitter a little bit. I'm trying to use my words more. I'm trying to get back on Twitter even more heavy, you know what I mean? So follow me on Twitter and see what I'm talking about over there. Jason804 brand on Facebook. Make sure you go by that page. Tell them what your social circles are.
You can check me out. I'm E period on Instagram. That's E P E R I O D. That's E period spelled out. And then on Facebook, I'm E period LLC. Twitter, E period LLC. Mm-hmm. And I actually launched E period Speaks. And so we got to talk offline. So, yeah, so E period Speaks is, you know, me getting out more on the speaking circuit and acting as a booking agent for people that are interested in speaking so they can get out there and be finding platforms for them to speak on too. So we're excited about the movement. To your point, we have something to say. This is imperative that now we are proactive in that and aggressive that our message is the right one, because you know we're not being arrogant and saying like, yo, we're right over here, but we do make sense. And so, you know, if you turn on the news, you're like, man, that just doesn't make sense. To your point of what are you filling your circle with? What are you filling your ears with on a daily basis to really spark or ignite the dream and the passion that you want and that you currently understand where you are but where you want to be? Who's filling that gap? And it's time for us to fill those gaps because other people aren't going to do it for us, so we had to do it for ourselves.
Dope, man. Dope individuals, man. If y'all learned anything, surround yourself with some dope people. You know, if you learned anything today. But continue to have these conversations. Have deeper conversations with your nephews, your nieces, your little cousins, man. It's our job, especially if we've been through it before, it's our job to reach back and not watch them make the same mistakes or watch the world change around us and not tell them about the world's changing, man. So it's our job out here to do that. So we got to get out of here. This is the ATL Podcast Network. Make sure you continue to follow the ATL Podcast Network 1720. There's still a bunch of different shows on it. Just continue. We're going to bring your podcast. We're going to bring y'all on over here. We're going to syndicate you over on the ATL Podcast Network, man.
Let's do it.
So continue to grow this network. Have dope people, man. We got to get out here. This is Jason Carrick running the point.